Thank the Lord for salvation. It's the best thing that's ever happened to mankind. It's nothing better. Part of our salvation, I know this is a time for us to do prayer and fasting and healing and whatnot, but do you know that's part of the plan of salvation? The Lord did not just take care of our spirit, but He takes care of our bodies as well. And our job and our responsibility is to trust the Lord. And oftentimes I find that that's the most difficult thing. One of the things that we do, we come to Monarch in a place like this, and it's glorious. We have a lot of saints, and we kind of shut the world out. The world is not a part of this. It's nice to be kind of isolated in a certain way, and we can concentrate on doing what God would have us to do while we're here. But then we have to go home to the real world. And we don't have the saints that are around us that can encourage us and be with us. And we've got to live in the real world. When everything is around us and everything is going in complete opposition to the way that we want, then that's when our faith is going to really be tried. Today we can be high on the mountain, but tomorrow when all of it's over, what are we going to do? When we're there by ourselves, when we're in pain by ourselves, and there's no one there immediately there to give us that kind of a boost, do you know what? The Lord is there. And so that's important for us to get a hold of and important for us to know. I want us, first of all, to turn to James, the second chapter. We're going to read quite a bit there. We want to talk about faith. And the scripture here we're talking about is faith without works is dead. And we live in a society nowadays that the society feels like it used to be back in the older days that we would say things like, oh, you go out there and you work really, really hard and you'll get ahead. But nowadays we live in a society that says, oh, don't work too hard. Take it easy. You're doing too much, right? And that's kind of the mantra that's going on in today's day and time. And that just didn't happen. It happened because that's the way that we feel. Most of us go on jobs and we want to work on a job where we do the least amount of work for the most amount of money. And we leave one job and go to the next job. And one of the things that's happening in our American society is there's not a whole lot of people that do manual labor like we used to do back in the days. We've got to import people to do that kind of thing nowadays. Because we don't like working hard. We want to take it easy. We want our lives to be easy. We want whatever it is that we're doing the automation and everything that we do. It's not done by strenuous labor anymore. It's done by machines. And in the same way, when we take that same concept or that same idea and we take it and put it in a spiritual context, that's what we're doing as well. We want it to be automatic. We want the ministers to come up here, anoint us with oil. You pray the prayer of faith, minister. Brother Darrell, brother, all the brothers, y'all get around me and you pray the prayer of faith, and the Lord will raise us up because of that. But it's automated. It's something that you don't really have to do. You don't have to put forth a great effort to do it. It's us. Now, we as ministry, I've heard people say this, well, what happens to all the healings? Well, you know, the ministry should have be able to heal and whatnot. Well, it is. We should have the gift of healing. But, you know, that's a gift. And we have to consecrate to it. And we have to work for it. We've got to put forth an effort in order for God to give it to us. We're not just going to come up there and say, Lord, I want the gift. And we haven't met the conditions of it. All right, so what I want us to think of for a moment is that there is work that has to be associated with our faith. We're going to have to labor in prayer. We're going to have to fight against the devil. It's talking about the fight of faith. That's hard work, right? And so we're going to have to understand that. And once we understand that, then the Lord can help us to in our minds as to what we need to do and what we should be doing, okay? All right, let's go to James and start at the second chapter. I want to read starting at the 14th verse. If you have it, you might read it for us. I generally like someone to read. If you don't mind, my wife reading, she generally is very familiar with the way that I preach. She's generally there. And if that's okay, if you can give her a microphone, that would be great.
What does it profit, my brethren?
All right. What does it profit, my brethren?
The man say he hath faith
and have not works.
Can
faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food,
and one of you say unto them,
depart
in peace, be ye warmed and filled, Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body.
You don't give them the things that are needful to the body.
What doth it profit?
What's the profit of it?
Even so, faith.
Even so.
If it hath not works.
If it hath not works.
Is dead, being alone.
Being alone.
Yea, a man may say,
thou hast faith,
and I have
and
works.
I have works.
Show me thy faith without thy works,
and I will show thee my faith by my works.
Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?
Now here's a point. Probably the majority of us have heard of people that are saying, "Yes, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I believe that God is able to do that." And a lot of people just use it as a blanket statement. But you know what? It says here that the devils believe and they tremble. That literally the devils, the demons in hell believe that there is a God. They believe and they tremble. So that tells us that there is an elevation. There is something more that we have to do, or else we'll be on that level. And there are a lot of people that are running around that are acting like devils and saying that they believe in the Lord. Well, they do believe in God, but their faith has not been activated. There is something about the way that we do it. There has to be an activation of our faith, and our faith is activated by works. Now, it's not of works, and we understand that, but it activates our faith. So in other words, it says here, it says that there's a man that is destitute, and you believe that that he can get the help that he needs, and you don't do anything to that, then that's not really what faith is, right? So faith is when I activate it by my actions. So in other words, I believe that God is able to do a particular thing. I'm going to do the things on my part that I believe God requires. And oftentimes what we see in our relationship with the Lord, that there is a part that he plays and then there's a part that we play. All right. The part that we play is our responsibility. Before God will activate his part, we've got to do what we're supposed to do as well. So in other words, God is not going to save us if I don't come down to an altar of prayer, wherever that may be, on my bedside, driving in the car, and somewhere if my heart does not say, Lord, have mercy on me, and I repent of my sins, I'll never be saved. It'll never happen. All right? Even though I may believe that God is able to save me to the uttermost, if I do not activate that through the effort that I put forth, and I want us to understand I am not preaching that is all about works. And I want you to understand that there is a combination of that. We can't just do good, and I try to do good, and I try to live right before the people, and I try to do it in my own strength. It's not going to work, is it? All right, but when I understand that this is something that God is requiring of me to do, then my job, my responsibility is to put forth the effort, the work, so to speak, in order to get that thing done, and it activates my faith. All right? So, read a little bit longer, please.
21, was not Abraham our
father? Was not Abraham our father
justified by works? When he had offered Isaac his son
upon the altar.
Seest thou
how faith wrought with his works,
and by works
was faith made perfect,
and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith,
Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness,
and he was called the friend of God.
I want you to turn over to the fourth chapter of Romans, and I want to read a little bit there, and I want you to understand, give a deeper understanding. Thank you. Deeper understanding of what this is talking about. All right, let's go to Romans, the fourth chapter, and I want to start reading the first verse, please.
What shall we say then?
That Abraham our father, pertaining to the flesh, is found.
For if Abraham was justified by works,
he hath whereof to glory,
but not before God. For what saith the Scripture?
Abraham believed God,
and it was counted unto him for righteousness.
All right, Abraham believed God, but he could have stayed where he was and believed God. I believe God is going to make me the father of many nations. But God had told him to go and sacrifice his son, right? Sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham, what did he do? According to James, it says Abraham was justified by faith. Let's go a little farther here. I want to lay that down so that people understand that this is not a contradiction of Scripture, all right? Let's go to the 20th verse.
He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief,
but he was strong in faith,
giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded.
So he was being strong in faith. It was not just that he was endeavoring to do it because this is what I think should be done, and this is what I initiated. God is the one that initiated it, all right? So he says, being strong in faith, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief.
and right? being fully persuaded.
Being pretty fully persuaded.
That what he had promised.
That what he promised.
He was able to also
He was able also to perform. God is able to perform. And I want to bring out a point that the Lord showed me some time ago. Unbelief is something you talk about in Hebrews. Pray for us. In Hebrews about unbelief, all right? An evil heart of unbelief. A person that doesn't believe, and unbelief is not just doubt. Doubt is something where we're kind of suspended between not sure if I can do it or I just don't believe. There are people that are in a state of unbelief. So the opposite of unbelief, hold on. Opposite of belief, belief is unbelief. All right? Unbelief is the opposite of belief. All right? Complete opposite. So in other words, I've made a decision here. I'm going to believe the Lord. I'm going to believe what the Lord has taught me. I'm going to believe it. It's personal and it's deliberate. Unbelief is also personal and deliberate. So in other words, I'm not going to believe that. There are some people that just don't believe what we preach or what we teach. They don't believe the gospel and they're not going to believe it. And it's a thought process. It's a deliberate action. Now there is somewhere in the middle here. Is doubt. It's a little bit of both. I believe that God is able to do this, but I'm not quite sure he's going to do it for me. But I have not made the decision to disbelieve him at this point. And so here in caught in the middle, you have one here, you have an evil heart of unbelief, and you have somebody that's struggling, fighting for their faith. And somewhere in the middle, we have this doubt. And this is where a good majority of us land. That when we're coming to the Lord for a particular thing, we don't know. Lord, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what you're doing here, but I'm going to believe. I'm going to fight through it. I'm going to work through it. I'm going to do whatever it takes for me to get what you are trying to get over to me. The Lord wants us to believe his word. And it is not an easy process for us to do. There's one place I want us to go to. I want us to go to John, the 6th chapter, and I want to read the 29th verse. If you have that, you can read it for us, please. And if there's someone else who wants to help read, 6 and 29, yes.
Jesus answered and said unto them,
This is the work of God,
that ye believe on him whom he has sent. They said therefore unto him,
yes.
What sign showest thou then that
right,
we may see?
That's good enough. What I want to bring up is he said, this is the work of God that ye believe on him whom he has sent. So we talk about the work of God all the time, but we don't talk about what that work entails. The job of a minister, the job of a pastor, the job of a gospel worker is to get people to believe the word of God. And so we have to lay down the word of God. We have to deal with it with our own experiences, and we have to ask the Lord, Lord, help make it plain and make it clear to those that are listening to us. Our job is to get you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the same way, what we have to understand is our job being to get you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you're out in the mission field or whether we're here under this tabernacle. Is God able to do a particular thing that we're asking him to do? Is he able to do it? We believe that he is able to do it, don't we? And we've got to trust the Lord, and we've got to look to the Lord to bless us in those kinds of places. But there are things that hinder us, that get in our way, that prevent us from believing. All right? We need to be honest with ourselves about that. And we need to ask the Lord to help us. All right? Now, there are obstacles to our faith. There are things that come between us, obstacles, problems. There are things regarding our faith that we've got to overcome. All right, let's go to a particular Mark, the 5th chapter, start at the 24th verse. Mark 5, verse 24.
And Jesus went with them.
Jesus went with them.
And much people followed him and thronged him.
Much people followed him and thronged him.
And a certain woman which had an issue of blood.
Certain woman which had an issue of blood.
12 years.
12 years.
And had suffered many things of many physicians.
And
had spent all that she had.
And had spent all that she had.
And was nothing better.
And she was nothing better.
But rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus.
Came in the press behind.
And touched his garment.
For she said,
If I may but touch his clothes.
I shall be whole.
And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her
body that she was healed of that plague.
And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said,
Who touched my clothes?
And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou,
who touched me?
And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her,
came and fell down before him and told him all the truth.
And he said unto her,
Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole.
Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.
Now, what we see, what we often read in the Bible is just stories about people's lives. This is a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. She was a very sickly woman, and she had spent all that she had. She had gone to physicians, doctors. She'd taken herbs, medicines, whatever she could to try to stop the particular thing that was happening to her. And she did not get any better. She grew worse. But she heard about Jesus. And this is what we need to understand, that there is part of our salvation is a divine healing. I believe that with all of my heart. All of my heart, part of salvation, the stripes were put on the back of Jesus Christ for the healing of our bodies. The Lord can still heal. It's not just something of the past. The Lord can still do it today. We have issues with our bodies. We have problems. And the older I get, the more I see that. The more I see I need the Lord. We need to trust the Lord. And may the Lord help us to be able to trust Him like we need to. All right, so here's the situation. Now, this woman had spent everything that she had, all of her money. She didn't get any better, but she heard about Jesus. Saints, when we hear about Jesus, may the Lord help us to reach out and touch Him. This is what she did, but here's a problem. Here's Jesus, and there's a throng of hundreds or thousand people. I don't know how many people it was, but this woman in a sickened condition realized that there's an obstacle. There are obstacles to our faith. There are things that we have to deal with in our own mind to be able to break through the crown of all of these things, all of these negative thoughts, all of these things that, oh Lord, I don't know if you're going to do it. This is a hard thing. I'm looking at this situation. I know it's difficult, and I know somebody else, they had the same thing and they died with it. It doesn't matter what somebody else did. What matters is, Lord, help me to touch you. Help me to press through all of those things, all of those fears, all of those negative things, all of those obstacles. Help me to press through it. Now, let me tell you, it's not just for the ministers to press through it. We've got to do it too. We've got issues in our own bodies. We understand the difficulties. We understand the difficulty of trusting in the Lord. We know that it's hard work. We know that we have to press against things. But here's this woman, and here is Jesus over there. And she says, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get out and to touch him. I've got to reach out and touch him. Do you know it's not easy when somebody sees a famous person and they're all around him and they're wanting to throng him and they're asking him questions? You're going to say, excuse me, and you're going to get through the crowd? No, most of the time people are saying, excuse me, what are you pushing me for? I'm trying to get to him too. But this woman did whatever it took for her to be able to get to the Lord. And we've got to do whatever it takes for us to get through to the Lord. It's not going to be easy. I want to tell you it's not going to be easy. I want to warn you that it's not going to be easy. You've got to labor. Oh, Brother Darrell, you just got to believe. But sometimes, in order for me to believe, I've got to labor through the thoughts that I'm having. I've got to labor through the fears. What if I die? What if this thing is so great? You think we haven't been through that as ministers? You don't think that the devil whispers to us, oh, you're about to have a stroke. You're about to have a heart attack. You're about all of these things. You suppose you have to work through that? Oh, I'm just going to believe that the Lord's going to do it. No, you've got to fight. You've got to rebuke the devil. You've got to tell him, no, it doesn't matter. I'm in the Lord's hand. I don't belong to you. You have no right to speak to me. That's all taking place in the confines of our minds. Nobody else knows about it. I'm scared. Have you ever been scared of something? Yes. Oh, Brother Darrell, well, I'm just preaching where I am. Yes, it's fearful. And she had to press through that. I'm going to die if I don't get to him. And so she pushes through it. The things that separate her from God, from Jesus, she pushes through the crowd. The people takes whatever it takes. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. I only have to touch him. I'm just going to touch the hem of his garment. Saints, ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Help me to be able to believe. Help me to move from this place of suspension in the middle of doubt and fear and all this. Lord, help me to believe. Inspire my faith. Increase my faith. Saints, this is what I've had to pray for myself. Inspire my faith and confidence in you. The Lord is able to do, as the scripture says, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power that works in us, Lord, inspire in me the confidence to trust you. Help me to work out my own salvation. Help me to work, do the work of God. The work of God is that I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ who sent me. Let me tell you, if you don't go through the trials and the problems, you wouldn't know the Lord could solve them, did you? Would you? You never know what faith in God could do. So here we are. Well, Lord, I'd prefer you not take me through those things. And that's been my experience as well. I have said I prefer not to go through those things. But what kind of testimony would I have the testimony that I'll have when I come through them? And do you know when I hear your testimony, when I hear that the Lord has healed somebody else, it inspires my confidence that the Lord is able to do me. And you may not even know what I'm going through. But if the Lord will do it for you, brother, he'll do it for me as well. The Lord is no respecter of persons. And that's why we go through the trials. That's why we work against it. And that's why we reach out to touch the hem of God's garment, of the Lord's garment, right? Just touch the hem of his garment, it says. All right. If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. She knew that. She made that determination before she ever started after him. I'd heard about him. I've heard about him. If I can just touch his clothes, I don't even have to touch his person. But I believe in my heart and in my mind that if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. And saints, all we got to do is get close to the Lord, get as close to him as we possibly can. And she did whatever it took. Oh, do you think she was polite in saying, excuse me? Maybe she did. But it didn't matter. Somebody elbowed her. She just kept pressing through. All right. So we have fear. We have other people. So fear is one of the major things that we have to press through. When we're trusting the Lord for anything, fear is one of the major things. We got, you know, and we may not tell everybody. We may tell our pastor or we may tell those that are praying for him, I'm a little afraid. And you know what? It's okay. It's okay to be a little afraid. But you know what? I tell people all the time, live where you are. Don't try to pretend to be something that you're not. The Lord knows where you are and he knows you're afraid. So you may not have to stand up in the audience and tell everybody that I'm scared, but you can tell the Lord that because he already knows it. So live where you are, but don't stay there. So you can live there. Lord, I'm here. This is where I am. I'm a little trembling. And what is the song that we just sang here? What did it say? One thing I can do. I'll place my trembling hand in thine until the battle is over. What does it mean to be trembling? I'm weak. But I thank you, Lord, there's nothing else that I can do, but I can trust you. I can put my hand in your hand, and you're going to take me through. It's important for us to know that, isn't it? So we have fear that we have to deal with. Then we have other people. So this lady had other people. This woman had other people that were preventing her. And sometimes, you know, it's not beneficial for us to tell other people everything that's going on in our lives. And because what I've learned is when you tell other people that you're trusting the Lord for a particular thing, those other people, sometimes their faith doesn't take it in and it just is not beneficial to them. And they begin to do whatever it takes to try to get you to do something different. All right. And so you need to do it for yourself. This is a personal walk with the Lord. And so there were other people that were standing between she and God and Jesus, right? There were other people, and so she had to press through what the other people said, what they did, how they treated her, whether or not they were offended at what she was, her faith, they were offended by what she was trying to do. Excuse me. Lord, help us. So there are other people. What they think, what they do, what they say to us. Sister talked about being offended. We're going to have some people that are offended by us, by our trusting the Lord. But I still believe in divine healing. I believe it with all of my heart. I believe it. I believe it's true. You know, and it's easier for me when I was younger for me to sit and be all staunch about it. Now that I'm getting older and I'm feeling a little this in my body and a little that in my body. And you know what? You're going to trust the Lord. You know what we start doing? We start praying before we get in the battle. We start praying, Lord, help me when I get in the battle. I want to be able to stand. We start praying that before we ever get sick. We pray that the Lord, help me to know you now so that when I really need to know you, I'll be able to reach out and touch you. The Lord will do that for us. All right. And then the other thing is there scripture talks about they that oppose themselves. Sometimes we're our greatest opposition. We're our greatest problem. And then let me tell you, if you do not conquer yourself in your small trials, you won't be able to conquer yourself in the big ones either. If you're not able to deny yourself in the smaller things and you want to have everything your way, doing it the way that you want to do it, and when you, if you're that kind of a person, when it comes down to you being able to trust the Lord or do whatever that the Lord requires, it's going to be difficult for you to do that as well. So what we have to do is we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Brother Darrell, your pastor, whoever your pastor may be, or whoever your spiritual leader may be, they're not going to be able to work it out for you. It's your job. That's your job. It's for you to work it out. And then you don't have to put so much on us. And one of the things I've had to learn in my own ministry is that you sometimes want to take on all of the responsibility of the person and whatnot, but the Lord said you cannot bear their responsibility. There are going to be some things that they're going to have to do, and you're going to have to encourage them. I remember one time there was an individual that I had been working with, and it seemed like this person, you were working with them and working with them and working with them, and they were always a very needy person and whatnot. And then the Lord told me they were always depending on you to pray them through. I'm not against you coming to the altar. I'm not against you. You can come to the altar every service if that's what you need to do. I'm not against that. But what I want you to do when you get up from that altar, you start working on yourself and you won't have to come down there so much. All right? And so the Lord said, you know what? You've been carrying this person. This was years ago. So you don't try to figure out who I'm talking about. This was many years ago. And the Lord said, you've been carrying this person, now put them down. They're a big old baby. They've been a baby for 10 years. Now put them down and let them walk. If they're going to get to heaven, they're going to get to heaven on their own 2 feet, not you packing them and breaking your back down. So you know what? I put them down. I let them walk. And you know what? They fell down. But you know better than I do what to do. You could tell me how to counsel you. The problem is they didn't work out their own salvation. And you know what happened? Shortly after I put them down, they backslid. So you know, we were just piecing it together and sewing it together and trying to tape it together and hold their experience together. But you know what? They backslid and they're out in the world. They didn't have a good life. And for many years, I carried them. But let me tell you, if you're going to get to heaven, you're getting there on your own 2 feet. And you're going to have to work at it. Yes, you're going to have to believe, but part of your belief, part of faith is work. All right? Faith without works. Yes, I believe God is able to save me to the uttermost. Now, what are you going to do about it? There is something for you to do. All right? All right, let's go a little farther. Let's go to Mark, the second chapter. And let's start reading at the first verse.
And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house.
It was noise that he was in the house.
And straightway many were gathered together in so much.
Many was gathered together in so much.
That there was no room to receive them.
There was no room to receive
them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them.
And he preached the word unto them.
And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four.
Now I'm wondering, here's Jesus in a house. Most of the time they preach, he preached in a out in the seaside where a lot of people could hear him, but he's in a house here. Why is he in a house? I don't know the answer to it, but I wonder if the answer is not in the following scriptures. That everybody is around the doors and the windows and they're looking inside the house. It would be much more difficult for them to get, for the lady, if the woman that was there, it would be more difficult for her to get into the house. If somebody, she's pushing her way through that crowd. But the Lord has a purpose and a reason. There is nothing in the scripture that just, oh, happen chance. Oh, that is just, oh, I'm not sure why the Lord had a very specific purpose for doing everything that he does. And then, so he's in the house, and there was no room in the house for anybody to get to, and they could just maybe hear him, his voice projected out of the windows, out of the doors. You couldn't even get to the door. But here is a person that needs help. One that is sick of the palsy, that is born of four. So in other words, there are five people involved here. So as the two that are holding him, I don't know how they held him. He's on a band, two at the feet, two at the head, and then this man that was sick of the palsy. It said he was born of four. So there's five people that are involved here, and they come up to Christ, and you're definitely not going to get in. It was one thing for a woman to squeeze in, a little woman to get through. Now you're going to have to make a big, wide area for the bed, and they're not going to do that. You know human nature. Human nature is, I'm not going to, no, I was listening here and I'm not going to do that. And if somebody is very nice about it, maybe that would happen, but that's not what happened. So they tried in every way to get to the Lord. They're going to do everything in their power to get to him, and they could not get to him. So what did they do? They decided, let's climb up on the roof. There's nobody up there. So they went around to the back of the house and they began to climb up on the roof. And I don't know whose idea it was. You know who I suspect it was? I suspect it was the sick of the palsy's idea. And I suspect that the people that were around him were his brothers, sisters, those that loved him, those that were concerned about him. They said, if we can just get to Jesus, we know that he'll be made whole. So we're going to do that. And maybe his caregivers. I don't know who it was. But let me tell you, whoever it was, they knew that they had to touch the Lord. They had to get an audience with Jesus. And do you know we need to get an audience with Jesus? Lord, I need you. We need you right here. We need you in this assembly. We need you in our individual homes. We need you in our individual congregations. We need to have an audience with the Lord. And so these men decide in their minds, we're going to get up here. Somebody climbs up on a ladder. They get there, and it's somebody else's house. It's not their house. If it was their house, they could say, excuse me, this is my home. I'm trying to get in the front door. But here they are, climbing up on someone's house, tearing the tile, the shingles, whatever you want to say, off of somebody's house, getting a crowbar and throwing everything to the side big enough to get down before the Lord. Can you imagine that happening, somebody tearing up your house? What did the owner say? What's going on here? But what did Jesus say? He just kept preaching. In my mind, Jesus just kept preaching. He says, I'm not going to address them until they get to me. When you touch me, when you get to me, when you lure him, he knew what was going on, didn't he? Yes. He was saying, when you lure him in front of me, that's when I'm going to address the situation. I'm going to pretend in my mind, if you'll allow me this liberty, I'm going to pretend that nothing is going on. All the racket that's going on here, I'm preaching the gospel message. I'm telling everybody what to do. I'm telling them how to get to the Lord and all this. And now I see all this commotion that's going up in front of me. And they knew exactly where he was. They didn't do it in the back bedroom. They did it right there where Jesus was. Jesus is talking and they're throwing the shingles off. They have to get to him. Now, let me tell you how the Lord showed this to me. You know what? There's power in agreement. Amen. There's power in agreement. There are some things in our own experience that we're not going to be able to do by ourselves. We need somebody being in agreement. And these five people were in agreement that we're going to get him before the Lord. Yes. It says where two can agree on earth is touching anything that they ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. There's power in an agreement. And saints, let me tell you, if you've got something against your brother, the sister said it here today, if you've got something against your brother, you got an offense against your brother, don't try to come down to an altar and expect God to heal you. He's not going to work over that. That's one of those obstacles. Well, I don't appreciate, I don't like Brother Darrell's preaching, so I don't want him laying his hands on me. Well, you know what? That's okay. It's all right, but you need to deal with that because guess what? The Lord probably wants Brother Darrell to come and pray for you. So you better get over it. Well, the very one that you don't want touching you, I want Brother so-and-so because he really has power with the Lord. You know, all of us should have power with the Lord. All of us should. It doesn't matter who it is. May the Lord help us to live right, do right, be right, and the Lord will bless us, won't he? And so here it is, a power of an agreement where these individuals are saying in their mind, let's do it. Now, one of them could have said, you know what, I don't think this makes too much sense. First of all, it's not your house. Second of all, who's going to pay for the damage that's done? And what about it? What if we get him halfway up? What if the one on the sick of Paul, what if y'all get me halfway up there and you drop me? I'm going to be hurt worse than I am now. There are all kinds of things. Well, I'm scared of heights. I've never been up on a roof before. No, they were in agreement. All of them were in agreement. Complete agreement. We're going to get you up there. If we drop you, we'll come back and pick you back up. Jesus is in there. He'll fix the hurt of the palsy. He'll fix the hurt of the broken back, broken neck, or whatever it is. Long as we get you in front of him, that's all that matters. And so that's what we have to understand. That's what we have to understand when we're coming to the Lord. When we're coming to the Lord, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, help me to be in a perfect agreement. And if I'm not in agreement, you know what I need to do? I need to go somewhere. I need to pray. I need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me the agreement that I need to be able to pray the prayer of faith. And you said the prayer of faith would save the sick and the Lord would raise him up. It's not Brother Daryl. It's not the ministry that's doing it. Our job, our responsibility is to have an audience with the Lord, that we go before the Lord and we're asking the Lord, Lord, have mercy, help me first of all. The first thing that I need to deal with is my own issues. Whatever issues that I have, my first responsibility is to deal with those issues and ask the Lord to help me with them. And then once I do that, then that's out of the way. And all the other obstacles are out of the way. All right, so let's read a little farther here, please.
4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press.
When they could not come nigh unto him for the press.
They uncovered the roof where he was.
They uncovered the roof where he was.
And when they had broken,
when
it,
they had
up,
broken it up.
They let down, they the, let bed down the bed
wherein the sick of the palsy lay.
When Jesus saw
their faith. What did he say? When he saw their faith. Not just that they believed that God was able to do this, but when he saw their faith. So there is a combination, there's a belief. So what faith is belief. I can believe this, and it's something, you put some action behind it. There's something that I have to do. So you say this here is belief plus action equals faith, all right? You got to do something. You got to do something. If you don't do something, don't expect the ministry to come up here and fix all of your problems in about 30 seconds of praying. It's not going to happen. You need to reach through. You need to touch the Lord. There are some things, you know, I was sick in my, I was having some issues in my own body. Numbness on my left side, and the devil was telling me, the reason I can say this, he's telling you, you're getting ready to have a stroke. And there are some other things that you're dealing with, and heart problems and all these. When you're carrying burdens, there are things that you have to deal with, right? Yes. It affects you spiritually. I mean, physically. It affects you spiritually as well. But I was having those things, and the Lord told me, I was praying, I said, Lord, here are the things. See, I'm not preaching about something somebody else told me. Here are the things that I'm needing to lay down before you, Lord. I believe that you're able to heal me. I believe that you still want people to trust you for the healing of their bodies. I still believe that. I'm not just preaching that because I'm in Monarch. I still believe the Lord wants that. I believe it's part of the gospel message. And I believe the Lord wants to see more healings. But he's got to trust somebody to go through the trials and the testings and the problems in order to see that God is able to heal. All right? And so I'm praying about it. And then the Lord told me there are some changes you need to make. So there, you know, I love salty food. I love it. If you got the food that's salty, I like it. Yes. No, let's rephrase that. I like well-seasoned food. All right? And I can eat it on the salty side. And the Lord starts saying, you take all of that out of your diet. Instead of eating bacon and pork and all this stuff, you don't eat any of that anymore. And I don't eat it anymore. And I haven't eaten it for years. And so now only thing I eat is fish. I don't eat beef. I don't eat chicken. I don't eat all of those things. The majority of the time, what I eat is vegetables. And people are apologizing. Well, we got this. Well, that's okay. There's something there that I can eat. All right. And you know, it's made a drastic difference in my life. It's made a drastic difference in my health. My blood pressure went down. A whole lot of other things happened simply because there was some action I believed and I had to do some work. Let me tell you, it's work when somebody's frying some bacon and you can't eat any of it. You think that that's easy for you to bake it? It's one of those things that you can put bacon on anything. Really, anything, and it makes it taste better. You know, they've got some muffins and some cupcakes with bacon chops in them. Have you ever eaten that? It's delicious. I've eaten it when I was eating when I was eating bacon. It's good. So you can wrap bacon around a wiener. I had somebody wrap bacon around a wiener. It's good. You put it on the grill and it's delicious. You wrap it around shrimp. You wrap it around anything. I'm going to tell you, you can put it on a pot roast and make a pot roast taste better. You put it in your greens. You put it in your green beans. You put it in all the stuff that you do. It's just good food, isn't it? But it'll kill you. It will. You got to be careful about that, don't you? So it takes work for you to say, listen, I'm not going to do that. You can fry all the bacon you want to, but I'm not going to bite it. I'm not going to eat it. Why? Because I want to live. Because the Lord told me not to do that stuff anymore. And I'm not going to, well, Brother Darrell, it's hard. Yeah, I know it's hard, but it's work. I said, you know what? I would rather work hard and not enjoying food and not taking the salt shaker and sprinkling it on the food. That's hard to eat some bland broccoli. But you know, after a while, you get used to it. And it's not so bland anymore. It's true. So the Lord wants some of y'all to change your diets. You're up here praying about it and you come down to this altar. Don't come down to the altar and ask for somebody to pray until you start changing what you're supposed to be doing. You work at it. You do the job. Is that okay to say that? All right, let's continue to read, please.
I'm not 5. Done. When Jesus saw their faith.
Jesus saw their faith.
He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves. He said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk.
You know what? Here's the thing that we need to understand here. Here's this, the Lord telling him, thy sins be forgiven him. He didn't say that. He didn't say, oh, you're going to be healed. He said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. So that tells me something. That tells me something that there was something in this man's heart that was yearning and reaching out to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'll do whatever it takes in order for you to heal my body. I want you not only to heal my body, I want you to heal my soul. And so the Lord connects the healing of the body and the healing of the soul. He connects it right here. This is why it's the gospel message. It's why it's the gospel message. If you want to know why divine healing is part of the gospel message, this scripture is one that connects the two and says, son, that he came up there. He did not come up there to get saved, per se. He came there to get healed. But the Lord said his heart was right. The Lord looked into his heart, and the Lord said, your heart is right. Thy sins be forgiven thee. You can take up your bed and walk. And the rest of them saying, what are you talking about? Only God can forgive sins. And then he says, was it easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up thy bed and walk? So the Lord wants us to have this connection that part of the gospel message, part of the blood of Jesus Christ, part of the stripes, the wounds that were put on him, is not only for the healing of our soul, it's for the healing of our body as well. May the Lord help us to see that in a way that we haven't seen it before. Lord, open up our understanding. Well, so does that mean that all of us are going to just lay down and die? You're doing nothing. No, we're not doing nothing. We're praying. We're fighting. We're trusting. We're working on our own selves. And if the Lord sees fit to take us, then so be it. But yes, I'm trusting the Lord. And let me tell you, I believe in that. I believe that that's the way that it should be. And I say, and I want people to say, well, you know, Brother Darrell, I'm just not there. It's okay. It's okay. If you're not there, and this is how I teach, and y'all want to straighten me out. If you're not there, say, I'm not there, but I want you to use this word here. Yet. So I want to get there, Lord, but I'm not quite there yet. And if you'll help me to get there and you begin to work, what it says, faith without works is dead. You begin on the little bitty things and you begin to ask the Lord to bless you in this and bless you in that. Pretty soon you'll get to where the Lord wants you to be. So it's all right. Live where you are, because what I'm going to say, something that's equally damaging is for you to try to live where somebody else is. It's equally as damaging. If you don't have it, you just don't have it. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with others. Be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not there yet, but I'm striving. I'm pressing toward it. I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to touch your clothes, the hem of your garment. I'm trying to get to that point. And Lord, I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to be right here where I am. I'm not going to be right here this time next year. I promise you that. You make a promise to the Lord will bless you and help you. All right. All right, let's go a little farther here. So there was a perfect agreement between those five people. So I want to bring out the point that there are going to be some times in your experience that you're going to need more than just you. Some people like to keep things to themselves. And yeah, some things are beyond us. Some things our faith doesn't take in. And I believe that what happens is there is something about the body as a whole that has the ability to heal itself in a natural sense, right? If you get a cut or you get something, then the body heals itself. But if the body is in a weakened condition, it won't heal itself. Right? Well, do you know it's the same way in the body of Christ? Yes. Yes. If we're in a weakened condition spiritually as a church, yes. And probably in my lifetime, we're probably in one of the weakest spots we've ever been. Or in my lifetime. All right? And so one, people want to say, well, why aren't there more healings? Why aren't there more healings? Because we're not living to the level that the Lord wants us to live as a body. It has nothing to do with just the ministry. Our job is to preach you to a deeper level. Our job is to get there before you do. Before I start preaching those at that level, I've got to get there myself. And so there's some struggles. There's some fights that we have to do in the body of Christ as ministry. And then our job is to push you there and to bring you along. And sometimes we have to go back down the mountain and try to get you to come. And some people just lay down. They're tired. They don't want to go any further. Brother Darrell, I know I can see the top of the mountain. I don't want to go any further. I want to stay right here. And you know what? But you're part of the church. So don't blame it on the ministry. Don't blame it on us. We want to go to the mountain. That's where we're going. That's where we're pointing you to. That's where we're trying to go. But you know what? You're going to have to do some work to get there. You're going to have to put forth some effort to get there. And once you put forth that effort, you can go a little higher, just a little higher. And I believe that's where the Lord wants to take us as a body. He wants to take us all the way up to the mountain. But what we have to do, it's not just us, the ministers that pray for you. It's you. We pray. Now, somebody said, well, Brother Darrell, you preached that message before. You preached a message. Well, it seemed like you preached that message last year. Well, you didn't get it last year. If all of you got it last year, I wouldn't preach that message again. Not too many people have said that to me. I don't know if anybody has ever said it. It's just a general thought. You understand what I'm saying? That there are times. But I have noticed some things. As I've gone back over my notes from years and years and years ago, I thought, you know what? This is a message that I preached last week. And it's got the same basic scriptures, maybe a little different heading, but it's saying, you know what that tells me? Y'all didn't get it the first time. Or you didn't get it down in your heart like you needed to get it. Or maybe I needed it. Maybe I'm the one that just need a refresher course. Lord, I need you to tell me something. And the Lord tells me, and we go and we move up to that level. Because what does it say? The husbandman that labors must be first partaker of the fruit. There are some times that we need to be reminded that God is able. He's able to do what? You put a dot, dot, dot behind it. He's able to do anything. Whatever it is that I need, God is able to do it. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Saints, we can trust Him. Lord, teach me how to trust you more fully. Teach me how to do that. All right, let's go. I want to read another story. Let's go to the 15th chapter of Matthew, the 22nd verse. So I wanted to leave us with the thought here that there's an agreement. There was five people that were in agreement of doing the exact same thing. They didn't deviate from it. They did not sit down and figure out, no, I'm not going to do it. They needed all five people in order to make it happen. All right? And so sometimes we're going to need more than just ourselves. All right?
Matthew 15:22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying,
Have mercy on me, O Lord,
thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying,
yes,
send her away, for she crieth after us.
So she was getting on their nerves. Now, anybody ever gotten on your nerves? That's what we call it. You know my nerves. I'm tired of hearing them. But here's the point. The Lord didn't speak to her. So apparently it lasted for a space of time to the point that it got on the disciples' nerve. That the Lord just sitting here doing whatever he's doing. And he's not speaking. He's a man of a few words. You got to understand that Jesus was the creator. And the words that he spoke had the weight of creating the world. So if Jesus speaks a thing, it happens. So he didn't say anything. He was looking at the woman's heart. And what happens when... What happens to us in our own experience when we're seeking the Lord and we're going after Him and we ask Him, Lord, have mercy on me in this situation. My daughter is you're the only one that can help me. My daughter is grievously vexed and the Lord doesn't. And the only thing that's between us and the Lord now is not obstacles of literal obstacles or physical obstacles, the obstacle of silence. The Lord's not speaking to me. He's ignoring me. And then what do we say? How dare you? I know you didn't just ignore me. Have you ever had somebody ignore you? You know that they heard every word you said again so that you can make certain that they understood you, and they're just ignoring you. Have anybody ever done that before to you? What do? We get offended, don't we? No, I could ask somebody else if you're going to act like that. We do that, don't we? But this woman didn't do it. She just kept doing it to the point that the disciples got tired of her saying what she was saying. And then the Lord says, what? He answered and said,
I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him,
saying,
Lord, help me.
Lord, help me.
But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread.
And to cast it to dogs.
And she said,
Truth, Lord.
Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table.
Now, you know what? First of all, you offended me by, you've offended me by not saying anything, ignoring me. And then now you're offended me by saying, okay, I wasn't even sent to your people. He's making a distinction here. I'm not even sent to your people. I'm sent to these people. And she just keeps going. She keeps pressing. And then you say, well, it's not meet for me to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs. Now you're comparing me with the dog. How offended would we all have been? We all would have been offended, wouldn't we? But she kept going. And what did the Lord say?
Then Jesus answered and said unto her,
yes,
O woman, great is thy
great
faith.
Great is thy faith. Do you know sometimes the reason the Lord is silent is because he wants inspire faith. Lord, I'm going to trust you though I die. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm going to trust you, Lord. I know you're not talking to me now, but I know you can't keep this up too terribly long. Because there is this love that you have for me, and you're going to answer me. And when I keep crying out to you and I'm begging you, your heart is going to be moved by that. I know it. I'm going to get to you. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to press through the silence. I'm going to press through the offenses. I'm going to press through all the things that are in my mind. And Lord, I'm going to touch you. And I believe when I touch you, you're going to respond to me. I believe that before I ever get there. I believe that in the Lord. What does he do? She falls down and worships him. She says, Lord, I'm going to worship you anyway. I'm not going to turn my back on you. She falls down and worships him. And he says, oh, great is thy faith.
Be it unto thee. Even as thou wilt.
Even as you want. You're going to have exactly what you want. Now, isn't it worth her putting forth the... Keep pressing and keep fighting. All right, a couple other scriptures and we'll be done. Appreciate your patience with us today. The scripture says in one place, Matthew 11 and 12, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We're going to have to take it if we want it. And then there's another scripture that says in Hebrews 11th chapter, it says, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right, so what does that mean? That means that without faith, it's impossible to please him. So what is the devil going to fight you on? He's not going to make you go out and smoke cigarettes and go out and drink and do all the other things that everybody else is doing. He's going to fight you on your faith. Because that's, that way you can displease the Lord just simply by your faith. Yes. By not having faith to trust the Lord. You can displease him. Saints, let's fight the fight of faith. One other scripture, it says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The more we hear of the word of God, the more we understand the word of God, the more we have the capacity to believe what the Lord would have us to do and believe that the Lord is able to maintain and do be faithful to his word. I desire that you pray for me. I appreciate your patience and your time. May the Lord help us.